The stage is set.
Only trying to give America a good show.
But the house...
Wait, what just happened?
...is his.
Hello, Michael. I knew you'd come sooner or later. What took you so long?
Halloween Resurrection, the eighth installment of the now classic Halloween series of horror films, is in theaters now. Since the original Halloween was released in 1978, dozens of similar movies have been released, from Nightmare on Elm Street to Friday the 13th. The teen slasher film genre is not just blood and gore and clueless high school kids. One critic sees them as social commentary. Pat Gill is professor of media studies at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. She says teen slasher films often depict teens in a world uninhabited by adults or other caretakers, and that when parents are present, they're often depicted in disparaging ways.
Parents are shown time and time again to be at fault. They are never there for their children. Their children have to handle these terrible, monstrous events on their own. Their parents don't listen to them. They don't pay attention. They refuse to believe them. They're not there for their kids. And the narratives make this clear.
And you trace the beginning of this to 1978 with Halloween, the first Halloween.
Right, John Carpenter's Halloween. And this is when divorce was being recognized as a real problem for children. Not that divorce hadn't occurred before or that divorce hadn't been discussed, but divorce as something that directly harms children and is a kind of indulgence by adults, that particular point of view emerged in the late 70s and the early 80s and has been strengthened in the succeeding years. So what I think of with what I believe with Carpenter is that it was in the air. This failure of the family.
And how does Halloween, how does John Carpenter bring these issues out?
Well, you don't see parents anywhere. So it's Halloween and there are no parents anywhere. They're all off at parties and the kids are not participating in door-to-door trick-or-treating. They're at home because their parents are gone. The opening scene of the movie is that Michael Myers is killing his sister, who isn't paying attention to him, but is in fact engaging in sex on Halloween. A lot of people point to that particular instance of Michael Myers' problem with sexuality, but I think it's a problem also with the failure of care.
But surely we've seen this before. I'm thinking in particular of Rebel Without a Cause with James Dean, who has classically disengaged parents.
Right, although his James Dean's father, Jim Backus, has failed to earn the respect of his son. And when James tries to talk to him, Jim Backus pays attention but can't respond. And James Dean finds answers in the police psychologist who understands that there's a problem at home. So that there are actual officials out there who understand the home life needs to be rectified and the father needs to take on the masculine role of the patriarch. And at the very end of the film, he puts his arm around James Dean and including in that gesture, Natalie Wood, and looks at his wife and says, things are going to be different now.
You can depend on me. Trust me. Whatever comes, we'll face it together. I swear it. Now, Jim, stand up. I'll stand up with you. I'll try and be as strong as you want me to be. Come on.
There is a real sense of restoration, however tenuous, in that film. The family is the root source of strength. There might be problems with it, but you can bring it back. That's not true in these slasher films. In the slasher films, often the family has to be destroyed in order for the young survivor, usually a woman, to emerge as the heroine. And she has to become a responsible adult.
Can't these films be read simply as straightforward coming-of-age films where teenagers necessarily have to go through all sorts of horrors without the parents there in order to come out on the other side as sexually mature adults?
I don't know if this is a coming of age in that the family is so straightforwardly indicted as a problem and that the issue in these films is that the kids have to save the world without the help of their parents, who in general are letting the world fall apart. They throw money at their children when they can't spend time with them. And those children who are rich and ignored, become very unattractive kids in these films. They are the first ones to go, but they don't care about themselves. They care about pleasures, and one pleasure is as good as another. There'll be drugs, there'll be sex, but they're not really engaged in anything. They are wasted youth before any monster gets there to waste them.
If all these films are indictments of the parents for mm-hmm. being self-indulgent and being absent, why don't the monsters kill the parents?
What happens is that you make the kids the victims, and you find those kids who can survive by testing them in the most brutal way possible, by killing a series of their friends. And the person who survives is the person who's ready for life in the 21st or the late 20th century. It's a real horrific view of what life is like for a teenager and a young adult, or for anyone coming of age in the late 20th century.
Pat Gill is professor of media studies at the University of Illinois. Her paper, The Monstrous Years, Teens, Slasher Films, and the Family, is to be published in the Journal of Film and Video.